This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at C3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Amazon workers in Alabama could hold a new union vote. Plus, another tech stock sell-off in Asia. And with rising COVID-19 cases and changing guidelines, companies face more uncertainty.
Flexibility is going to be a key word on the minds of employers for the foreseeable future until we get this under control.
It's Tuesday, August 3rd. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. An official with the National Labor Relations Board has recommended nullifying the results of a closely watched vote in which Amazon warehouse workers in Alabama rejected a plan to join a union in April. This, according to the labor group involved in the case, which said the official found that Amazon's actions in the election process violated labor law. It could lead to a new vote. An Amazon spokeswoman said the company will appeal the recommendation, which hasn't been made public yet. The union has accused Amazon of intimidating workers, a charge the company denied. We're reporting that PepsiCo plans to sell Tropicana, Naked, and other juice brands to a private equity firm. That's according to people familiar with the matter. They say PepsiCo will retain a 39% stake in the new joint venture in a deal valued at roughly $4.5 billion. Over the past several years, fruit juice sales have been under pressure as consumers reduce their sugar consumption. In China, authorities announced mass coronavirus testing in Wuhan as an unusually wide series of COVID-19 outbreaks reached the city where the disease was first detected in late 2019. That's according to the Associated Press. We've just learned at the Tokyo Olympics, gymnast Simone Biles won bronze in the balance beam finals. Here's our colleague Andrew Beaton in Tokyo.
Simone Biles won a bronze medal in a dramatic return to action after a week away that was a really surreal week here in Tokyo, with the greatest and most dominant gymnast of all time pulling herself from the action because of what she described as mental struggles that she said prevented her from competing effectively and even safely. And so when she returned to the balance beam here, there was so much anticipation to see not just how she would perform, but if she could get back to a place that's so familiar to her, the medal stand. And she did that. This isn't always her best event on the balance beam. It's really difficult. It is a mentally challenging event. But she came through with a routine that felt more comfortable to her and a bronze medal to end her Tokyo Olympics.
And today, Boeing will try once again to launch its Starliner spacecraft to the International Space Station. As we told you on the show last week, the launch was postponed after a Russian vehicle forced the ISS into an unexpected tilt. On today's earnings calendar, we'll be hearing from Lyft, Alibaba, and Marriott. We've been paying close attention to the markets in Asia again this morning. Shares of tech giant Tencent and its rivals have fallen after a state-owned Chinese newspaper criticized online gaming. Let's bring in markets reporter Joe Wallace. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Joe, what more can you tell us about what happened today?
The state-owned Chinese newspaper you mentioned said that online gaming was the opium for the mind, and that prompted investors to worry that Tencent and some of its fellow gaming companies could be swept up in the broader regulatory crackdown on tech firms that we've been seeing. Hours later, though, the story was no longer accessible on the paper's website, and the shares of those companies recovered some lost ground. Tencent also said it would introduce stricter curbs on games playing by younger users. Its shares paired some losses. They were trading about 6% lower mid-afternoon in Hong Kong. Earlier, they had dropped more than 10%. And NetEase and Bilibili, two other gaming companies, also recovered some lost ground.
Joe, what's the broader backdrop to this? As we've been reporting, the tech companies in China have been under the microscope.
China has really intensified scrutiny of big tech companies in the past few months over issues such as potential monopolistic behavior, data security, and even financial stability. And that's led to steep declines in shares of Tencent and other companies like Alibaba Group. Drastic steps to rein in after-school tutoring led to massive declines in shares of companies in that sector. One motivation for Beijing is to address social concerns, such as relieving extreme pressures on children. And Chinese authorities have also previously raised concerns about the gaming habits of young people.
Much to discuss here. Joe Wallace in London. Joe, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Just ahead, even though companies are planning a return to the office, the uncertainty mounts. We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Many companies across America have been targeting a return to the office for September after Labor Day, but now some are giving those plans a second look. In recent days, we've seen new guidance concerning mask usage, along with a growing number of Delta variant cases of COVID-19. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Friday raised more concerns with a new report that said vaccinated people infected with the Delta variant can spread the virus. As companies question if a return to the office will really happen, many workers are on edge. Should they come in, and what should they expect if they do? Let's bring in the WSJ's Ray Smith. He's spent a lot of time looking at these very issues. Hi, Ray. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
So, Ray, if we look at the landscape across the country, different companies are doing different things. Looking at tech, for example, Google and Facebook said they will require all employees at the U.S. campuses to be vaccinated. Amazon said it wouldn't require workers to get vaccinated. Some companies are delaying the return. How are all of these recent developments shaping things now?
Sure. They're actually thrusting plans to return to the office in uncertainty. And a lot of companies are sort of waiting and seeing for a couple of things to happen. One thing they're waiting for is getting some clarity on how serious the Delta variant is. And they want to take proactive steps rather than waiting until it's too late. The other thing that we're seeing from companies is this idea that they realize that employees are on edge. They may have school-age children in school, in the South at least, schools are already starting. And so they have to take all these considerations into effect about what this is going to mean for the employees' return and how comfortable they're going to be when they're hearing all this news.
Ray, this is such a novel time in many of our lives. How are these organizations making their decisions? Are they getting any outside help?
In some cases, they are getting outside help. I talked with one consultant for the story who told me that she's basically advising companies who already had plans in the works to return to slow down and maybe revamp those plans, maybe bring in fewer workers than they had originally planned at first, and then go from there. And so what we're seeing is consultants advising some companies to be a lot more flexible than they already were in terms of their return policies. Just anything that was set in stone, just maybe not have it set so much and just be agile and nimble enough to pivot when necessary, because it's going to be stop and start for the foreseeable future. But some companies are relying a lot more on employee feedback. A lot of companies started surveying their employees a lot more in the past year during the pandemic, just to get a read of how they're feeling, or even hearing secondhand from Slack channels about how employees were feeling. And so companies are really taking employee input more seriously than they had in the past. I know that sometimes employees can be skeptical of those surveys, like who's really listening. But employers are really trying to listen, especially in a tight labor market where employees can really find other jobs that they feel more comfortable with, that are offering more flexible work schedules, who are reinforcing safety and prioritizing it, or even prioritizing life-work balance. It's a tight labor market. Employers really have to listen to what their employees want and where they're going to feel more comfortable.
With so much concern from employees, will their workplaces look even more different than they already are? We're already used to social distancing and mask policies if you're going into an office.
That's a really good question. And companies did already invest in retrofitting their offices, everything from sanitizer to barriers, plastic barriers, and social distancing, as you said. And what we're going to see upon return is even hyper-vigilance about that. Maybe companies will, who had plans for a certain amount of workers on certain days, may even be more restrictive about that. Mask in the office is a really big debate right now on social media, especially, you know, with vaccinated people. And now with the recent guidance about wearing masks indoors, employees are really wondering, am I going to have to wear a mask in the office?
And in fact, we did see some companies yesterday, including Facebook, Target, and Home Depot, say they'll start requiring some workers to wear masks regardless of their vaccination status. Ray, it seems like this whole idea of uncertainty and change could be an ongoing part of participating in the workforce.
That's right. It could really be more so now than before. Primarily because the Delta variant has thrown in basically a wrench into the previous plans. And companies and employees have learned a lot about how productive people can be when they're working remotely and questioning whether they really have to be in person in the office. But it's going to be a challenge to those companies, again, in the tight labor market, especially if you're not offering lots of flexibility for employees to work wherever they want to work from or what days they want to come in. So I think we'll continue to see, just based on interviews that I've had with experts, hybrid, more flexibility, and maybe those tools in terms of the in-person safety guidelines and layouts may not be enough for some employees' comfort. So that's a long way of saying that flexibility is going to be a key word on the minds of employers for the foreseeable future until we get this under control.
Ray Smith joining us this morning. Ray, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, live music is making a comeback. While that's good news for everyday working musicians after a year of mask mandates and crowd limits, behind the scenes, they may be a little out of tune. They're frantically practicing, brushing up on lyrics, and searching for equipment that's been hiding in the back of a closet. One Los Angeles singer-songwriter told us that for much of the past year, he was doing two-hour live streams 6 days a week to keep himself in shape and to find new followers. Now he's racing across the country for 5 or 6 weeks at a time in a nearly new camper, playing shows for fans old and new. And that's what's news for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. Until then, follow the news on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.